Senate will come to order. Messages from the House.
February the 11th, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message number 4. Mr. President, this is to inform you that the following named person is duly appointed as a new member of the House of Representatives of the 62nd Legislature of the State of Wyoming and is serving until the first Monday in January following the next as representative from District 52. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 11th, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message number 5. Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following standing committee changes for the 2014 General Session of the 62nd Legislature. Committee number 3, Revenue. Troy Mader, Republican. Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivision. Troy Mader, Republican. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Senate File 30, first reading in the Senate File.
Senate File 30, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, compensation for persons exonerated based on DNA evidence and act relating to criminal procedure.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I would move Senate File 30, compensation for persons exonerated based on DNA evidence. Mr. President, this is the companion bill to Senate File 28, which we addressed this morning. It has to do with exoneration because of new evidence. In this case, it's the DNA evidence when someone's convicted and then because of a DNA sample showing that they were innocent of whatever crime they were convicted of, this lays down the process that can lead to exoneration. Like its companion bill, it also sets limits on what the compensation is. If the person is exonerated, then the state is going to give them some money for the time served and those kind of things, and sets a cap on what the total amount can be. I think we need it. When all these statutes were written, we didn't have DNA. Now we got DNA, and we can use it. And I think actually we've already seen at least one situation in this state where DNA was used to exonerate. The person is still in the process of exoneration. What this bill does is really clarifies how you go about getting exonerated because of DNA evidence that was not available in the initial proceedings. I ask for your favorable consideration of Senate File 30.
Members of the Senate, the Appropriations Committee is off the floor. I do not suspect at this point in time that this, I'm not trying to suggest one way or the other how you vote, but if, in fact, this bill was not to receive a two-thirds majority vote because of them being off the floor, that could create a problem. We'll go ahead and they're coming now. Yes.
We could just lay it back till they come on the floor, and then if somebody just stand up and move, that it'd be postponed for a little bit.
Okay. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, by our rules, does it require 20 votes or does it require two-thirds of those present? It
requires 20 votes, I believe. So. Yes. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
The committee is going to be back till 3:30, so that should get us through this. We'll do the committee the whole after getting through these, so that should take care of the problem. So I think we'll have everything okay.
The committee is not going to be back until 3:30?
No, they're going to be here until 3:30.
Okay, all right.
So all right. We're indulged with their presence till 3:30.
All right. Well,
where are they?
The only problem is I only see one.
Well, the chairman's right here. He represents one of them. No, they'll be here.
Well, we'll lay this Senate File 30 back for, it's already been introduced, but we'll lay it back for.
I think, Mr. President, I think everybody's here. Let's just get them on the floor. Keep moving.
Senate will stand at ease.
Here we go. Mr. President, I'll bet a buck that Senator Meyer is the last one to get on the floor while we're here. if we're wagering. That's Senator Schiffer and I are his, what do we call it, probation?
Mentors.
No, this morning you had a, what was that bill you had this morning to keep track of people?
Probation officers.
We're his permanent probation officers. Oh, you cost me a buck.
Really?
Yeah.
Eli caught me. Oh, that's okay. Get in there. Did you know something? You guys bet a buck against me, and now I owe it to you?
No, I bet a buck that you'd be the last one on the floor.
Okay.
And Perkins was slow, and...
Toast's not here.
No, just at the J.
All right.
Oh, okay. All after, I should...
Senate File 30 has been moved for introduction. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Yeah, that's why we want your vote. We want your vote. We don't care about you. We want your vote.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis, Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
here. Aye.
Hines,
here.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 30, having received the two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 65, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 65, sponsored by Senator Peterson, Substance Abuse Grant Program, and Act relating to the Department of Health.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for introduction, Senate File 65, and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Senators, this is a somewhat of a tricky one. This bill has a companion to it, and as you know, there's a bill being introduced in the other house that basically, Mr. President, I was taught on appropriations for a lot of years that you don't come with a bill like this without an idea of where the revenue was going to come from. So the companion bill creates the revenue. And this bill expends that revenue on a program that's directly related to that bill. And so the reason it's tricky is that I certainly don't want to expend money for another program without knowing where that revenue is coming from. And so all this bill will hinge on its companion of where the revenue is being generated from. This bill basically, Mr. President, is an attempt to expend the $2 million estimated revenue that would be generated to a grants program that would allow certain problem areas of our state that consider themselves as a problem area as far as alcohol abuse and other harmful drugs. This would involve the locals, local government, local leaders, local services that provide these services, that they would get together, generate a grant application to be reviewed by the Department of Health, and then receive 90% of that grant with a 10% local buy-in. The idea and the concept here is to have the local people getting involved to the point of maybe coming up with a all-inclusive plan of attack to help with this substance abuse from law enforcement, education, jails, courts, treatment centers. Everybody's would be included in this application. And the grant would total of $1 million. The concept is it's not a lot of money, $2 million. And so it's targeting those problems involving local involvement and buy-in and local contribution as far as solutions. And then if this were to work and the solution were to help reduce the costs, then we could then duplicate it throughout the state and other areas that have similar problems. That's the basic of basics of the bill, and I would ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader. Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross,
no.
Closing vote. Hicks, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Senate Bill 65, having received two-thirds majority vote, is referred to committee number 10. Senate File 5, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File Number 5, sponsored by the Education Committee, Teachers National Certification Pay Incentive, and Act Relating to Teachers.
Mayor Koch.
Mr. President, I move introduction for Senate File 5, Teachers National Certification Pay Incentive, and defer to Senator Anderson, District 2.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Teacher National Certification Pay Incentive is an act that relates to teachers, clarifying the eligibility for National Board Certification Pay Incentive reimbursement. What it essentially does is amend the section in 21.7501. Section 21.7501 provides for reimbursements to school districts for yearly incentive payment paid to those teachers holding National Board certification to the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards. As part of the State Department's review process, they identified individuals whom reimbursement has been requested that may not be considered as, quote, teachers as defined within the context of that statute. Specifically, job assignments such as instructional facilitator, counselor, speech pathologist, librarian, and certified tutors are in question of whether or not they satisfy that language set forth in statute. While in the broad sense, the term positions as an instructional facilitators, tutors, and librarians could be considered as, quote, teachers, a more narrowed interpretation may conclude that personnel whose primary duties involve classroom instruction are only applicable to reimbursement. So although the language of the statute indicates that reimbursement may only apply to staff members whose full-time function is to instruct students, there are other considerations that suggest that the inclusion of certain job assignments of instructional facilitators, librarians, and counselors should be included. For instance, supplemental funding for instructional and facilitators under current statute requires in part that funds be used to employ facilitators holding either a master's degree or national certification through board certification. Furthermore, the National Board Certified Teacher Program offers standards in content areas which, such as library and counseling, so if these people were to be included, they would also benefit from the instruction that they receive through the program. So I say in conclusion, Mr. President, in consultation with the school districts and other stakeholders, that Wyoming Department of Education recommends that clarification is how, quote, teacher is used in the statute, and that's what this bill does. It clarifies that so those people then can participate and be fairly reimbursed for their efforts. Thank you, Mr. President. I urge your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer. Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Scott,
Von Flatern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
Senate File 5, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 67, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 67, sponsored by the Management Council, Administrative Rules Streamlining, an act relating to administrative procedure.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the introduction and approval of Senate File 67 and ask you to vote aye. Some folks, Senate File 67, Administrative Rules Streamlining, is the result of the streamlining rule effort that we've undertaken to do a better job of culling through the rules that we have throughout state government, minimizing them where they're not required, creating general statute rules that would apply to all types of procedures so that you you're not required to go to the rules of every agency to look at, for example, their hearing rules when we could consolidate them in one area. So the idea is to streamline it. There was a very successful project in the state of Utah where they were able to condense the rules down to a much smaller amount than even that we have currently. So the process is couple-fold. One is to not only consolidate the rules down to a smaller package, but also then to enhance the capacity of searching at the Secretary of State's website. One of the processes or the issues are we going to have a code system where you can have a book, much like your statutes, where you have all of the rules in the book, or are we looking for only a searchable database? What this does is provide for a methodology that would be consistent with putting all the rules in, publishing them in a code, much like the rules. There are still some concerns out there that need some further debate, but I'd ask for your favorable consideration on the introduction of the bill so that we can move this process forward.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
I hope so.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Oh, you mean
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
I don't.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer. Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
I don't.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 67, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. Senate File 31, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 31, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Sobriety Program, an act relating to criminal procedure.
What are you doing, John?
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File 31247, Sobriety Program. And Mr. President, what this bill does is it sets up one more tool to try and treat particularly substance abuse from alcohol in our communities. What it does is that under the Attorney General, we collect fees for people that are put in this program. What they do, they get get tested at least once a day, sometimes twice a day. It happens before work if they're employed. It can be a condition of going to work. They come in, they're tested. If they fail, they immediately get put in jail. I mean, and it is literally that quick. The participants pay for it. The people that will be eligible for it, the court may order someone as a condition of pretrial release, bond, suspension, or sentence. It may be imposed under the rules of criminal procedure. It may be part of a person's parole conditions. The idea here is that people that abuse these substances and are picked up on a crime, make sure that they're staying sober in this case and that the consequences are immediate. They're using it to very great success over in South Dakota. Some of your colleagues went over there and watched. This was done, I believe, around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. They had a person that failed. And that person was immediately taken into custody. The person giving the test said, "So sorry." And they were immediately picked up, and it's an incredibly effective, it's a low-cost thing. Again, it's paid for. We set up a special fund in the Attorney General's office. So it's paid for by the participants. Is it going to solve all the problems? Nope. But it's one more tool that we have seen in a neighboring state to be very effective. And it's one more way we deal with people that abuse substances, particularly alcohol, although it can be used for other substances. It's just a different test. I ask for your favorable consideration for introduction.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson. Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 31, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 31 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 71, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 71, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee, Reversion of Appropriations, an Act relating to administration of government.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File 71, Reversions of Appropriations. Mr. President, the way things are working now, it may be that all of the money that's supposed to revert isn't reverting. Maybe. And what we've done, we've looked at this very carefully in your management audit as part, and this is the money that actually falls under the B-11. And that's how we found this. And what this does is there are certain appropriations that you don't want to have revert, that are ongoing programs. For example, I'll just use the one for this building. We made an appropriation years ago. We started a fund. We started an appropriation to look at the Capitol building. That's been an ongoing process and still is. You want that money to stay there. We want to make sure that kind of thing stays where it's supposed to stay. But there are some times when agencies, through no fault of their own, certainly, maybe hang on to money a little bit longer than what the project may be over. And they may be hanging on to that money. And we're just kind of tightening that up so that what's supposed to revert actually does revert. I ask for a favorable consideration on Senate File 71.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer. Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 71, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 71 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 72, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 72, sponsored by Senator Case, Burglary, an Act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the introduction of Senate File 72, Burglary. Mr. President, right now, any type of entering a vehicle or a structure is a felony. And it's if you look on page 3 of the bill, the existing penalty, it could be a 10-year felony or $10,000, or there's another crime called aggravated burglary, and that's even higher. Mr. President, this includes situations like if you're walking down the street and you reach into a car window that's open and you take a wallet or a pack of cigarettes or you know, you name it, that is a felony. All right? If you take a lighter, that could be charged as a felony. Now, the same as if you go into an unlocked garden shed, maybe take a shovel. That's a 10-year felony. So, Mr. President, what this bill does is creates a type of penalty for allowing for a charge of misdemeanor. But it's only in very special circumstances, Mr. President. First off, it's the circumstance where it's not a place where people live. It's not a place of habitation, which could include vehicles like trailers, motorhomes, but it's not a place where someone would normally be. So that if you you enter a garden shed, that's not considered the same under the law as if you went into someone's house where someone could be sleeping upstairs. Second element that's required, Mr. President, is that the thing is unlocked. So there's no lock. You don't break in. You just reach through an open window or turn the door and go in. The third thing that is required, Mr. President, is that you steal something that's valued less than $1,000. And I had originally proposed $500, but LSO thought $1,000 would be more conforming. So with those elements, you enter and you steal something, it's valued less than $1,000, and it's definitely not a place of habitation, then you can be charged with misdemeanor burglary, which is still a year in jail, Mr. President, and, you know, it's a serious crime. I just don't think it's right, Mr. President, to treat stealing a pack of cigarettes or something very small where there's no breaking in and there's no chance you could encounter another person, and it's not a place where people live. I don't think that's quite the same thing as breaking into a house where people are sleeping upstairs and stealing things. So this gives just a little bit of definition there. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen. Christensen. Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
nope.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
Senate File 72, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 72 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 4, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 4, sponsored by the Education Committee, School Finance, Local Resources, and Act Relating to School Finance.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I move introduction on Senate File 4, School Finance, Local Resources, and defer to Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
President. Mr. President, School Finance, Local Resources is another joint education interim bill that addresses what was once again identified as a bit of a glitch in the way that accounting is done with regard to our Wyoming post-secondary education options program, which we know more commonly as relating to dual and concurrent enrollment and some distance education. Usually for this program, money flows from a school district to the college or community college or wherever else they're taking the course. We found out through testimony that under some circumstances, money actually flows the other direction from the school, the university, the college, wherever else, to the school district. However, based on the statute that we see on page 2, that revenue would count towards the resources or the revenue of the district when you're calculating their local resources under the foundation program payment computation. This is all just kind of complicated. But what it comes down to then is that the school district is unable to receive compensation for that small amount of money that gets transferred back because it's used as an offset against their foundation block grant. So they don't get paid for the little bit of work that they're doing under that circumstance. Based on the testimony we heard, it's a glitch is what it appears to be. It's unexpected because money is typically flowing the other direction. To be perfectly honest, I'm not entirely sure at this point why it flows this direction and now I'm wondering the same thing that many of you may be, but I hope to find that out, Mr. President, and I hope we'll support an introduction.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Heinz.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fleitern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Closing vote, closing. Vote closed, 30 ayes.
Senate File 4, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 4 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 34, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 34, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Involuntary Hospitalization Emergency Hearings, an act relating to involuntary hospitalization.
Senator Schiffer.
President, I move for introduction of Senate File 34, Involuntary Hospitalization Emergency Hearings. Mr. President, this is Emergency Hearings Light. What we're doing here, we had a couple counties in the state that county attorneys decided that they were didn't want to participate in the Title 25, that's mentally ill, involuntary commitment hearings. They went to court. They got a very limited, they got a judge that said maybe you don't have to. What this bill does is says, yes, and it's the three words in there on page one, which specifies that the county attorney will participate in those Title 25 hearings for the mentally ill. That's what the bill does. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Coe,
Cooper,
Kraft,
Dockstader, Driscoll, Emmerich, Esquivel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Heinz, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Fleitern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 34, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 34 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 73, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 73, sponsored by Senator Nutting, Campus Security Study, and act relating to public safety.
Senator Nutting.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move introduction of Senate File 73 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is a study that's to be done of campus security. This is the most highly vetted bill that I have ever brought before this body. It represents almost a year of work. Last March, it was brought to me by a constituent who was sincerely concerned about the level of our security for our students in community colleges and the inequities that exist. Every community college president has been communicated with by email on this. A study group was formed early last summer, consisting of myself, a local representative from LCCC of representing the administration, another one representing the security department, and a representative of the Community College Commission. The study asks that the colleges be studied for their security officers, their level of training, post-certification and recertification, the level of surveillance at each community college, communication systems, infrastructure, and what inequities and inadequacies exist. A report is to be made to the education committees as well as the appropriation committee. I think it is an important study to safeguard our students in an equitable manner throughout the state, and I do ask for your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geist?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks? Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Flatern, President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Barnard, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 19 noes.
Senate File 73, having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 73 has failed introduction. Senate File 70, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 70, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee, State Appropriations Lapsing of Funds, an act relating to administration of government.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File 70, State Appropriations, Lapsing of Funds. Mr. President, this is another bill that came out from your Management Audit Committee when we started looking at the B-11 process and the funds that are carried over and moved around in the course of that process. This is the one where it's got the companion bill you looked at earlier. This is the follow-up to it. If, perchance, a state agency undoubtedly mistakenly retains money that perhaps they shouldn't have, this is where the hammer falls here. We define outstanding obligation. That's carryover funds. We go on and say, all right, if you're going to do that stuff, you've got to let the state auditor know. And you've got to be able to prove that it meets the definition, that it is worthy of being carried over. If they can't prove that, then in the bill it sets up a process where the state auditor brings that money, basically reverts the money. That's where we make sure that a reversion becomes a reversion, and then that money is available for reappropriation in the next biennium. That's what this bill does. It's pretty straightforward, but it lays down that process so everybody knows what's going to happen. I ask for your favorable consideration of Senate File 70.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll? Emmerich,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Geist,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, Senate File 70 has received a two-thirds majority vote and is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 40, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 40, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment, an act relating to hospitalization and treatment of mentally ill persons.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File 40, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment. Mr. President, we were asked to, the Judiciary Committee was asked to look. These are the Title 25 commitments dealing if a person is a danger to themselves or others. And what we do here, we went in and looked at the whole process. And what we tried to design is a therapeutic model as opposed to a strictly legal proceedings. The idea being that these people who may pose a danger to themselves or others, the quicker you can get treatment and the closer to home you can get treatment, the greater the likelihood of a good outcome. It's based on that. We institute a couple of new things, things like voluntary and involuntary outpatient, to where they don't have to go to a state to the state hospital or one of the five designated mental hospitals in the state. We try and keep them at home. One, that saves a great deal of money. The odds of success are much higher. We have tried to offer, instead of two hearings, hone it down to one hearing, but with the possibility of prior to commitment, if we can figure out different ways to divert people from having to go into the state hospital. We also clearly define some roles. Again, the role of the county attorney is spelled out explicitly for those county attorneys that needed that sort of guidance, and there's a couple, three of them. We also provide for a level of professionalism in the evaluation process. We require hearings. The evaluation process done by somebody trained in risk assessment. We also provide a timeline for the hearings on commitment. In other words, from the time a person is medically cleared to be assessed, there's a 24-hour window. The next hearing has to take place within the following 24 hours. In other words, you can't just hold somebody to see what's going to happen. Those are the kind of revisions we've made, trying to make this process work a little better. We spent a great deal of time on this, heard a great deal of testimony, both from the legal community and the treatment providers. I think we've reached that balance that we need to. I think you'll see, we'll hear, if the bill gets introduced, we'll hear the bill. There will be some amendments. We're working with particularly the legal folks right now, county attorneys specifically, because they're the ones that make this process work. And quite frankly, they have been extremely cooperative. I'm not going to say they have jumped up and said, this is the best thing since shoelaces. I guess because most of them wear boots. I don't know why that is.
Time.
But I urge your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Hines, aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
oh.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
Senate File 40, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 40 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 68, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 68, sponsored by the Management Council Committee. Obsolete Laws, an act relating to the general revision of laws.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the introduction of Senate File Number 68 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, our staff keep track throughout the year of discoveries they make where there are obsolete laws or things that simply need to be corrected, and including foundlings and how they're characterized, and this is the bill that's presented to take care and remove those obsolete laws. I urge your support.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader? Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 68, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 68 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. Senate File 76, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 76, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Unemployment Insurance Worker Misconduct and Act Relating to Unemployment Compensation.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move introduction of Senate File 76. Mr. President, this is a joint interim committee bill. The history here is that there were a number of incidents which employers, and I think they're principally municipal employers, felt were just outrageous, and they fired somebody for them, and then they wound up having to pay unemployment compensation, even though the conduct was pretty outrageous. And so they shopped around last year in the general session. A private bill was brought to correct the problem. We strengthened that bill here in the Senate, and the agency felt we had gone too far and persuaded the governor to veto it, and so it wound up back in the joint committee's lap to work out a compromise. Mr. President, this bill is the compromise. I think it does satisfy the objections that organizations that were objecting to the payment of unemployment compensation inappropriately had, and I think it meets with the approval of the state agency and is consistent with the federal law. So, Mr. President, that's this bill. It's a compromise, and I hope you will introduce it.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer, Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 76, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Finally, Senate File 35, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 35, sponsored by Senator Esquibel, Wearable Computer Prohibition While Driving, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways.
Senator Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move introduction of Senate File 35 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, this bill, as you all know, it seems like the law is usually behind technology. And with technology expanding at such a fast rate, one of the things that I'm concerned about is our ability to communicate with some of these electronic gadgets and hopefully not do it while we're driving. This bill addresses what are popularly called Google Glasses. And basically, it's a little computer that attaches to your glasses or part of your glasses and allows you to access your computer while you're, while you're driving, while you're doing anything else, as far as that goes. And I guess it's okay to do that as long as you're not doing it while actually driving. So this bill is basically addressing that issue to prohibit the use of wearable computers while driving. In addition, it might, I understand that one or two of my colleagues over here are so dedicated to their work that they've been trying to put these computers with duct tape around their foreheads so that they can work while they get back and forth to work, Mr. President. But anyway, that's basically what it seeks to address is emerging computer systems, and especially the way they're being used in some cases while driving. It's not a problem right now, but it's certainly in the near future. At least I think we can all agree to that part. With that, Mr. President, I ask for favorable recommendation.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks, Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Flatern, President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
Snuck that one by there. Senate File 35, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Okay, reports from standing committees.
February the 11th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 15, Community College Major Maintenance, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins, Senator Bebout, Chairman. February the 11th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 17, Insurance Electronic Delivery of Documents, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we resolve ourselves back into committee of the whole.
Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Peterson.
Committee of the Whole come to order. Next bill up for our consideration is Senate File 44. Reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 44, sponsored by the Travel Committee, State Park Use of Fees, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christian, Kraft, and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate File 44 and ask that the Committee of the Whole give favorable consideration.
Okay.
Did I miss anything? there are no standing committee amendments, and with a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on the vice chair of TRW committee, the man from Devil's Tower.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bluffmaster from North. This bill is a good bill. As you all know, State Parks has had a tough time getting any funding through the last few years, and they're faced, like a lot of our other agencies now, with times kind of got ahead of them, and they're underfunded right now, and they're having a hard time gathering enough money to do just the routine maintenance on the parks. And we allow them to collect money at the gates of these parks, but the money all goes into a account for capital construction, basically so they can do capital projects. And they're finding themselves now where they really can't fund the day-to-day operations, i.e. keeping the bathrooms clean and doing some of the stuff. They just don't have the money to do it. So this bill works to help them deal with that. It lets them take up to 25% of the money that they collect at the gate and use that money for their what would be known as the O&M, the operation maintenance, or daily type stuff. The second part of this bill allows them to take the part of the proceeds of the interest off the account that normally would accrue into the general fund that would go back to them. And at 2%, this money amounts to about $72,000 a biennium, and at 4% it would be $144,000 a biennium. The other really nice part of this bill is it's not permanent sunsets. This is a temporary fix. As we've all done over the past couple of years, we failed about 8 or 10 funding bills for the state parks. This is a way for them to gap through until we can find a better means to support them, which I hope we will do as we roll ahead. I would ask for your favorable consideration of this bill.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would hope that we would resist this bill. We have a process. I think it's been tried or true for a heck of a lot longer than I've been around, and that's the appropriations process. And I can tell you that practically everything that the department wanted this year, the governor put in the budget, with very few exceptions. I think maybe the Carissa fire suppression account was one of them. Folks, you know, we have priorities in this state. And the reason we have priorities is because we have a general fund. And we use the general fund and budget reserve to determine what those priorities are. And if it's the will of the body to have priorities to fund these different things, we can do it on the floor in the budget process. When you start developing trust and agency accounts for general operations, then you remove yourself from the dialogue. And that's what this bill does. It removes this body and the body across the other end of the building from the dialogue about what those priorities should be and how we should spend state monies. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would hope that we would resist this.
Senator Von Fleeter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My microphone on? Okay, thank you. Standing in support of the bill, but I do have a question. In the lines on page 2, 5 through 8, where it talks about the fiscal year 15 and 16, does this go beyond that? And if it does, are they limited beyond 2016?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, in answer to the Chairman of the Transportation's question, it is sunset at the end of fiscal year. Actually, that is a typo because that is intended for 2 years, but I understand what he's saying. For 2015-16, it should be 15 to 17, and should this bill pass, we'll bring that back as an amendment. But it is for 2 years to see how it works, and then the legislature can come back and look at it. As far as the good gentleman from LaGrange and his argument, these enterprise funds are already going to the major maintenance and construction fund. That money's not going back into the general fund as we speak. And so all we're doing is for state parks to be able to use some of that funds for operation and minor maintenance instead of just major maintenance and construction, because that's frankly where the need is at this point.
Further discussion on the bill. Are you ready for the question?
Oh.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just one last piece. That's absolutely true. And actually, as far as the argument that they're going around the corner kind of doing this, they've come directly at us with funding. We've turned them down. And they're really being upfront rather than trying to do an internal transfer, which they could do. They're up front with the bill and saying, look, let's help us out for this period of time and let us get it in place. You will see more funding bills for parks because we don't have the money, folks. So one of the real problems, and I'll put a little bit of a pitch, is the parks are underfunded as far as the operations on them right now. And we're faced that in another agency. We're going to see some other things that way. And the truth is we've really been tight with our money, and that's a great thing. But you also have to take care of what we own. And that's what this does. This allows us to have quality service for our people. So I encourage you for this one time to take a look at it. And let's fund them, get them down the road, let them come back, and do it down the road in a different fashion. Thank you.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if you mentioned it, I apologize, but I want to know how much money we're talking about if we take 25% of the user fees, because usually when you start out with something like this, and they get used to the money coming in, then it's going to be there, and it may continue to grow. And of course, originally was set up with a good purpose, and that is for capital construction, major maintenance, and site interpretation. So how much money are we talking about with the 25%? About the interest on it. I'm talking about 25% of the user fees.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have that available, but I would ask that we go ahead and pass it. We'll have that information for you on the next reading of the bill, and if it's something that's bad, we'll do it. And we did sunset, so this doesn't keep coming back over and over again. It does have a sunset. They asked for it for one time only.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, that figure is about $2 million. So we're talking $500,000 for the biennium.
For the discussion on the bill. Are you ready? Senator Anderson.
Yes, just quickly, and perhaps some questions that I don't really expect to be answered today. This whole conversation brings to mind questions in regard to what's actually going on with the funding mechanism within the park system. I have two park facilities, two issues within my community, and I won't take time to talk about them today, but there's actually a community petition going around in regard to why one of these facilities, I'll say it, Fort Fetterman, was closed, and then there was another in regard to an issue with the prisoner war camp. Now, I'm not making a plea on that. I'm not trying to take us out of the purview of the bill. But given as we go through the budget, I'm going to have some questions in regard to what's actually going on and what is the problem in regard to funding of parks and recreation, because this isn't just something that's just suddenly come up. It's been, I think, over time, and I can remember some of the efforts I put forth in past sessions in order to get resources in order to preserve what I felt at that time, still feel, some pretty valuable resources in Wyoming, and the Parks Service was not able to do that at the time. So I think we need to take a look at this thing and quit putting Band-Aids on it, if that's in fact what this is, and address the problem, because that's what prioritization is all about. If this is not one of our priorities, let's call a spade and deal with it. But I think we have a problem. Thank you, Mr.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, Fort Fetterman was specifically mentioned in the with the operating shortfall that they're having. It's not completely closed. It's just seasonal now. And the hours were cut back because the personnel were cut back. This is happening all over the state, up in the good center from KC's district, just south of my district. Fort Phil Kearny has gone from 2.5 people to just one person. And this is happening in historic sites and state parks all over the state and has been for a number of years. He's absolutely correct. And what's happened is the funding to operate these state parks and historic sites has not kept up. It is understood that money's tight, budgets are being cut back. And what State Parks is trying to do is find, as we were talking about, and we will be talking about with coming up here in a few minutes, ways out of the box thinking and other ways to finance the operations of these places. I know that one of the priorities of state parks, if they can get this money from this bill, Fort Fetterman was specifically mentioned as one of those sites that they would like to get back open in expanded hours than what they have right now. As to the POW camp, I don't know anything about that. My understanding from that was it was mothballed for future reference, and I have not heard anything different than that.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of concerns with this bill. One is that, this notion that we have cut back the salary of our commitment to state parks, to my knowledge, that's not happened. To my knowledge, they've been treated like all other agencies. You've described the Joint Appropriations Committee has pointed out that there were funding requests that were made. But this agency, like any other agency, has appropriations. They've got to live within those appropriations. But we continue to hear this notion that we're going to divert resources from one area to the other and then come to you after we've closed a facility. A second issue of great concern is that this is there's two things about this bill. It creates this account. They get to go out and create their own account. And it has a continuing appropriation, so they don't have to account to anybody. They don't have to come to the Joint Appropriations Committee, to anyone, to defend how they're spending or why they're spending. They can spend on anything they want. It's bad practice to set up these continuing appropriations. And it's worse practice to set up a continuing appropriations for operations for a charge that we created for capital facilities. And what's happened historically is that the parks have come in and they've got a list, I think about $21 million worth of deferred maintenance that these things were to address. And they're coming to you say, well, we would rather pay this towards people than the capital items. But when we convince people to accept and pay these dues, they were promised for capital construction. We pay a lot for tourism to bring people in to pay these charges. They expect to see quality facilities, and they ought to be going into the quality of the facilities.
Further discussion? Question being called. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I have to disagree on the issue of people versus bricks. Capital construction and major maintenance is well and good, and it is really needed. But if you don't have the people there, you can't open the facility in the first place. And that's the situation we're talking about. And as the good majority floor leader has said, they have asked for increased money for operations, but they've also been cut back, as most other state agencies have in recent years. And you're asking them to do more with less. They're trying to take what they've got and operate as well as they can and keep the facilities open as they can and to do the ongoing regular maintenance. If you lose a half dozen shingles off a roof, that's minor maintenance. If you lose the entire roof, that's major maintenance. And I don't know what major maintenance calls for, you know, to have weeds whacked, but you need to have the lawns mowed and the people there to operate the place.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 44, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Chair's in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Bill has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 46, sponsored by the Travel Committee, State Parks ATM Donations, an act relating to state parks.
Oh, I got to do that.
It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll, Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 46. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of this bill, I ask that you call on the good senator from the southwest part of the state.
Senator Bernard.
Well, we've had a great discussion about the state parks today. I visited our state parks up in Guernsey last spring, and I've seen a couple other of them around the state. And my opinion is they need some help. This is an act and a bill that would hopefully help quite a bit if we can get this passed. This is a bill that uses ATM donations by the people that are using the parks, and the State Parks and Cultural Resources would use these ATM donations for maintenance and operations. It starts out on page one. A Wyoming financial institution or a regular financial institution or a person who owns these ATMs, about half the ATMs in the state are owned by private individuals. Over on page two, it says something very important. It says, on line one, it says they may enter into an agreement with the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources to provide the users, that's the people that are using the ATM, a voluntary opportunity to donate funds. Now, when you go to this ATM, you'll make your transaction, and then this will come up. It will ask you and give you the chance to electronically donate an amount to the parks, and there can be a suggested amount, but there's no demands from you to do that. No additional charges for making the donation will be charged to the user. The people who will pay for that is the financial institution. Down on page 2 on 16 through 19, it makes a provision that the owner of the ATM can charge an administrative fee not to exceed 10% of the donations collected. and $5 is the maximum that they can charge, whichever is less. So if someone does a donation of $100, they'll pay $5 of transaction fee. After that, it maintains the same amount. Over on page 3, it just simply says that these donations will be used for operations and maintenance. Mr. Chairman, this is a new idea. I would hope that we can let these people give it a try. There's no idea how much money they'll make or how much they won't make, but I would encourage your support on this, and let's see if this can somehow bring in some money for our parks. Thank you very much.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, two questions because I'm having a little trouble understanding this bill. One is, am I correct in understanding that everything here is voluntary, that nobody is compelled to offer this in their ATM and nobody is compelled to use the ATM? And second, what makes you think the financial institutions, the owners of the ATM, are going to be motivated to participate in this, and what makes you think we're going to get many donations that way?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, in answer to the chairman of the Labor and Health Committee's questions, it is entirely voluntary. That is exactly why the Wyoming Banking Association is neutral on this bill, because you can't be really against anything you don't have to do in the first place. There is actually, frankly, there is more support for this on the part of the private ATM owners than there are on the part of the bank institutions. And what the attraction is for them is the management fee they can take that you see on page 2, at the bottom of page 2, lines 17, 18, and 19. They can take up to a 10% fee, not to exceed $5, whichever is less. And so they actually generally will make some money off this. That's the attraction for them. And then there's also any sort of public spirit-mindedness they might have toward their local state parks or historic sites.
Thanks. So, Mr. Chairman, so if I understand, this would be like when I go to the grocery store now, certain grocery stores, and if I swipe my card on there, it asks me if I want to donate to various organizations, and I can say yes, no, or and if so, how much? Is that how this will work?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly how it will work. There are banks that I was given to understand that down in Colorado, they did this last year to help with the flooding that they had down there, and then a few years ago, at least one bank did in California to provide money for the tsunami over in Japan. And you would slide your card, and it's up to the ATM owner when that window would slide in. The window could come up while you're asking for your options. Do you want a receipt? That sort of thing. Or it could come up after you've already finished your process before you get your card back. That would be entirely up to them. That's frankly something the state doesn't want to get into.
Further discussion. Senator Perkins.
Question for the good sponsor of the bill, and that is ultimately, will this just go into the special revenue account along with any other, like the fees collected for entrance or stuff like that, or where are the donations going to be accumulated?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, at this point, it would go into the operating fund for the for state parks and cultural resources. That amount of money would be reported back to the Appropriations Committee at the end of each year. Nobody is aware of anybody else who's ever done this before, so we have absolutely no idea how much money this might accumulate. It might be a lot. It might be a little. One of the concerns, this bill passed this body last year and passed through the committee on the other end of the house, other end of the building, and it did not pass. One of the concerns that was expressed over there which I don't necessarily agree with, is that now this will start a cascade of every government agency wanting to have a window up in the local ATM. So you'd have to go through 15 windows on the ATM anytime you want to get money for the Department of Health, Department of Education, Department of Department of Corrections, whatever it is. The fact is, State Parks is the first ones to do it. They're the only ones to do it. And all this bill actually does is two things. It authorizes State Parks to come into agreement to take the funds from ATM owners. Right now, ATM owners can go ahead and put a window up now and give the money to state funds. There's nothing in the law stopping them from doing it now. This just allows them to come to agreement with them. And the other thing it does is authorize them to be able to take the fee for having done it, which is their incentive to do it, which is the administrative fee.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just one question on this, or I guess it's one question with multiple components. So these are accrued on a monthly basis and then transferred, or an annual basis if the owner of the ATM then makes those transfers to the state. And then what's the provisions for the accounting that once these people collect this money on the ATM, that they're actually transferring it to the state? So one is, how often are they accrued? Who pays interest on that funds? And then who oversees the accounting to make sure the funds are actually being transacted at that machine or actually being credited back to the state?
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, great senator from Bags. I'll try to answer this, and I'm hoping it's accurate. I've got ATMs, so got a pretty good clue of it. You fill out a form electronically on where that money goes, and it transfers directly into it. So this part of this money is going to go straight in to whatever the parks account is. That's the way they do it. There's a pretty lengthy set of paperwork to fill out. My ATM, when I run it, when you come in and swipe your card, the credit card company or the terminal outfit takes part of that money. You get your part deposited directly back into your account, plus your end of it. And so the state's part of the money would go straightly into whatever account the state dictated, which I assume would be a state parks account. As far as counting, there's a year-end account or somebody can get online and do it. The owners actually never do get a hold of the money on that part of it. Like the ones we run, that you never get a chance to get a hold of the other parts of the money. They go directly electronically away from you. So I hope that does it, and I hope it's accurate. If there's something that's off, I hope banking comes to us. Thank you.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for the Chairman of Travel and Rec. Is this something we've done before? I was just sitting here thinking about it, where we're going to the private sector and have them utilize the state parks as a vehicle to raise money, yet they're collecting a fee on our money. Is this done in other ways within the park system? Or is this something really, you said it's really new, never been tried before. Is that part of it new as well?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, as far as we know, this has never been done ever in any state government in the country yet. Director of the Wyoming Banking Association actually went around and checked with the National Banking Association, the American Banking Association on this, and there's no other state government that's doing a program like this at all. And so this is, we're in new territory here. So I'm kind of curious to see how this would end up working out. It might work out great, might not work out at all.
Senator Cole.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm just trying to figure this out because I was, on a bank board for quite a while, and I know that these machines, these ATM machines are not cheap. I mean, they're expensive. And I can't find anything in this bill that shows that there's going to be an incentive for a financial institution to have their machine out there. So what was the testimony? I know you said that they had no position on it, the bankers didn't, but what's the incentive for a financial institution to say, I'm going to put a $15,000 ATM machine out here at Glendale?
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, the machine's not at Glendale. It's the existing ATM machines that are already in all the stores and businesses. It's mainly it'd be the same as your bank account at the end of the month. There'll be one screen at the end that says check a box if you'd like to give money to the Wyoming State Parks. you're going to be able to do so, which particularly ATMs are near parks. I happen to be near Devil's Tower. There's a reasonable chance somebody may say, even though it's a national park versus state, when they may say, we'll give a dollar to the parks. When you do that, it does it. Back to the good senator's question, we do a similar collection system with private business that you're asking. It's game and fish license agencies. They get a piece, and the ATM fee in this case can be up to $5 or the 50 cents, whatever. So there is an incentive to do it. Even for me, there's an incentive there that I get to pick up a little chunk of money off for doing it. State gets their money, and it's kind of a win-win for everybody, potentially. It's voluntary. If I don't want to put it on my machine, there's no window, and it doesn't get used. The other piece, as far as banks pointed out anymore that over half of the ATMs are not owned by banks anymore. They're so unprofitable that they don't do them. They do them at their own locations, but they generally don't do them elsewhere.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, to finish the answer to the good chairman of the Education Committee, I know he sits on the board of a bank. Most banks, the reason that it's actually 60% now of the ATMs in the state are owned by individuals, not banks, and that's still growing. The principal reason is that banks generally don't make money on ATMs. And the reason they don't is because they do not charge their own customers a fee to do it, whereas the privately owned ATMs do charge. You'll see anything from $2.50 to $3 or something for the use of an ATM. And that's actually something we agreed on a year or so ago. It's a private agreement between the owner of the ATM and the person who wants the cash. And are you willing to pay $2.50 for them to provide the cash to you? What this does is actually does provide an incentive to the owners of the banks who have ATMs, because they can make that administrative fee. So they actually would and could be making money off that ATM that they weren't making off before. And it is for any ATM anywhere in the state, and that includes Yellowstone Park.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, in our conversations with funding and accessible service at our state parks, one of the things that always comes up is a Wyoming perception of value and where we grew up, as opposed to someone from the east or the west coast and their perception of values, and trying to find a price point that doesn't rough up our residents. This really provides that voluntary opportunity for people who come from other places who are somewhat awed by the experience, and a chance for them to say, wow, this was a bargain, you can throw in a little bit. We don't know the outcome of it, but the opportunity for this voluntary kind of experiment, there's not a lot to be lost on this one. I'd sure encourage us to support it, see how it works.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with the favorable recommendation of Senate File 46, say aye. Opposed, no. Senate File 46 has passed the committee of the whole. Next Senate file for our consideration. Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the JAC will be meeting, the Senate Appropriations meeting will be meeting down in room 204 now to continue work on the budget bill. And, Mr. Chairman, the other thing, since I won't be here to make the announcement, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., and Herschler B63, the ETS will be giving an informational talk about, briefing about the unified network. And I'd encourage all of you to go. This is a major expenditure by the state of Wyoming, and it's really an intriguing idea. The JAC has it in the budget bill, but I would encourage you to go and get an idea on what that's all about. And also, of course, you remember that we consolidated the ETS from all of the various agencies into one super agency now, and you'll be talking about that, and that will be Flint Waters tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., B63. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 48. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 48, sponsored by the Travel Committee, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership, an act relating to the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund Board. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor for just a moment?
You may.
Going back two bills to Senate File 44, State Parks Use of Fees, there was a question, and it was a good question because it stumped me, or a good question to me, about the language about fiscal years 2015 and 2016. That is actually, I've checked with LSO, that is the correct language for 2 years. It is fiscal year 15 and fiscal year 16. So I just wanted to clarify that in case anybody's waiting to hear anything else from me.
All right. Thank you.
Now, thank you for that, Mr. Chairman. And I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of the bill, I ask you to call on one of the fairest members of the Senate from Sweetwater County.
Yeah, I do.
Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much. This bill addresses membership on the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund Board. That trust fund was, of course, created in 1998 to provide grant funding for projects that support our historic, our cultural resources. There currently are 5 members of the board. 4 of them are selected members. The 5th is the current administrator, so the administrator for cultural resources. The problem with that is this particular individual is very frequently involved directly with the grants that are being submitted for consideration by the trust fund board. That means she very frequently has to recuse herself as a conflict, so she can't vote because she can't vote on her own grants. So that means 4 people throughout the state are deciding on these grants that are given to all 23 counties. Every county in the state has received a grant from the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund Board. So what they would like to do is have 5 members of the Cultural Trust Fund Board.
Excuse me.
Did we not move the bill?
No, I apologize. It's my fault.
Yeah.
I should have, rather than bring this bill up, I should have asked this bill to be re-referred to appropriations. There is an appropriation on the bill.
Okay.
And I apologize to the good woman from Sweetwater County. I apologize to the Committee of the Whole. And I will ask for a re-referral back when we come out of Committee of the Whole.
All right. Thank you, Senator Burns.
I'll have a lot more to say about it after it gets back. my premier.
Senate File 48 has been re-referred.
Can't do that.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, you'll have to wait, and the presiding officer will do that.
So we'll hold that here?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we are on the next Senate file. Next Senate file for our consideration, Senate File 60. The reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 60, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, then Inspection Authority Game and Fish, an act relating to the titling of vehicles.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 60, then Inspection Authority, and to explain this fine bill. I yield the floor and ask the chairman to recognize the senator from the Southwest.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow senators, Senate File 60, then Inspection Authority Game and Fish. One of the things about this bill, first of all, I need to point out, is on your desk there's a handout that says Senate File 60 and says Exhibit A on it. It's kind of going to be part of my explanation here. And if you look on there, you'll see some asterisks and some couple of arrows there, funny-looking forked arrows there. That's to show you some of my competency in drawing. And as you can see, I'd like to go down through there and point out something before I go into the bill here, is that if you look on the first asterisk there under D, the letter D as in dog, 1A, you'll see where it says, for a boat trailer there to, if a trailer has no title and no VIN, then this is the procedure you do. Basically what this exhibit is, it came from YDOT and it shows how you go through the process of receiving titles, titling of boats and trailers. And if you see there, going back now again down to D1A, you can see there it says a game warden under the bottom part of A, it says a game warden cannot inspect a boat trailer. And then if you go on down again to little D there underneath there, like A, B, C, D, you'll see again it says a game warden cannot inspect a boat trailer per statute so-and-so. Now if you go move on further down this page on this exhibit, you will see where in G, the very last item on here, in little F there, it says a boat is inspected by, can be inspected by, this is a boat, can be inspected by a law enforcement officer or a game warden. And also under I, it says the same thing, can be inspected by a law enforcement person or a game warden. See, so in therein lies the problem, and not the problem, but the kind of the reasoning for this bill, I guess. The legislature kind of created this problem way back in 2009 when we had a lot of complaints that there was a stolen boats and stolen snowmobiles and stolen trailers and all kinds of things. And the banks were getting to complain, too, because there was they couldn't file liens on something that didn't have a VIN number on it or some sort of number on it. So the legislature, in its infinite wisdom, created a law in 2009 to say now these boats had to have what they call a HIN number. So we got HINs and VINs, which is a hull identification number rather than a vehicle identification number. So when we did that, of course, there was a lot of boats, a lot of trailers, and a lot of machines out there that had no HINs and VINs on them. So there is a procedure now for establishing that. But as some of these are being sold over the years, the new person is wanting to title it. And in order to get it titled, one of the things you have to do, of course, is get on and have this inspection done. Well, so here you are, you have a boat, you pull up to the courthouse and you say, on a trailer, and you tell the, get a deputy to come out and try to get a VIN number inspection, or I'm sorry, you go to, I gotta back up, you go to the game warden's office, you decide, hey, I wanna have a inspection on this boat for a HIN number. He says, that's fine, I can do that, but in order for you to get a VIN inspection on this trailer, you're gonna have to track down a deputy someplace and do that. Well, what this bill does is kind of makes it, I guess, a little bit easier for people and provides a huge improvement for people in customer service, for people to be able to get these HINs and VINs checked at the same time. And it permits the game warden now to not only check the HIN on the boat, but also check the VIN on the trailer. And it provides a great service, I guess, to the people who are coming to have this done. And the County Clerks Association, by the way, did endorse this bill and does think it will be good for the public. Just going through the bill for a minute, if you go over on page 2 of the bill, way down in section 4, Romanet 4, it talks a bit. I'll just read this one section to you. This is lines 19 through 23. While performing a vehicle identification number or VIN inspection on any watercraft trailer, if performed contemporaneously, and as I mentioned earlier during the introduction of this, contemporaneously means, for connoisseur of fine words, at the same time. So this has to be at the same time. The game warden now would be able to check the VIN number and the HIN number out if you were doing it at the same time, and be able to give you approval and certification on the inspection of that number. And going up onto page 3, we're looking at section 31.3.102, and it talks about the fees. And the way it is, this is a $10 fee. If you have them both done at the same time, the trailer and the boat, it's just one $10 fee. And that's what's being charged right now for either by the counties or by the local police force or by the highway patrolman, whoever does these VIN checks. And it goes into if the city police does it, it goes into the city coffers. If the county does it, it goes into the county coffers and so on and so forth. The trooper goes in the state. So all this last part does in V, Romanet V at the bottom of page 3, it just allows $10 now just to go into the game and fish fees into their funding. And that's about the gist of the bill, Mr. Chairman, and seek your approval on this bill.
Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, if you pass this bill, what you're doing is making the game and fish people the same as a deputy sheriff or anything else. And that wasn't the intent of the game and fish back when we started them, when we gave them arrest authority. That's what you're doing here. You just want to make them deputy sheriffs and be done with it.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cooper.
In answer to that, all game wardens are sworn peace officers in the state of Wyoming at this very time and have been for years.
Further discussion. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification. Does the department now, when they conduct the hen inspection number, do they collect a $10 fee for that now?
Senator Von Flader.
Mr. Chairman, in answer to that question, as far as I know, they do not. It was never brought up that they actually collected anything, but you do pay a fee for having your boat serial number, and we're just saying they can keep that. So, reference to the earlier comment made about them being peace officers, and it was answered correctly, but I'd also point to the bill on line 21 where it does say contemporaneously. In other words, they have to be doing a hull inspection to do a VIN inspection. They can't be in the business of doing VIN inspections.
Further discussion. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Von Flader's motion that when the committee of the whole rises report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 60, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Senate File 60 has passed the committee of the whole. Last Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 61. Reading clerk will read in the Senate file.
Senate File 61, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions, an act relating to education. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, and Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
There is an amendment on this bill. Will the reading clerk... Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 61. And with the Chair's indulgence, I'd like the amendment read in at this time.
Senate File 61, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 20.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Number 1 to Senate File 61. And to explain this bill, I call on the good senator sitting right in front of me from Cheyenne, and he will explain the amendment as it fits into that bill. Thank you.
Senator Esquibel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bring to you Senate File 61, Veterans, Non-Resident Tuition Provisions. And, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, you should have a one-pager somewhere. At the very top it says Wyoming Veterans Commission. It's got some various talking points, which refer to basically what the bill is about. And as the title indicates, it's a way to provide tuition assistance for non-resident veterans. And by that I mean is that they would be eligible for resident tuition instead of having to pay the non-resident fee. As it stands right now, Wyoming is just one of the few states that does not provide resident tuition for non-resident veterans. So I think it's we should join the rest of the states. Now, according to the fiscal note and to the representatives from the colleges, there's approximately 68 veterans that would benefit from this change. They would be paying resident, or they would be charged resident fees instead of non-resident. The colleges support this bill. In addition, the federal government is looking at some legislation that would provide require resident tuition for all non-resident veterans at the community college level. The this bill was before this House last year, and as the one-pager indicates, it passed the House Education and the House unanimously last year, and it passed the Senate Education Committee, but was not heard on the floor due to time elements. In regard to the amendment, it basically simplifies the bill by, on page 20, it changes, your bill should read evidence that the veteran has taken steps to establish residence in Wyoming, which may include, et cetera, et cetera. The amendment shortens that by including documented in front of evidence on line 20 and adds a period at the end of Wyoming. It also deletes some of these other provisions that were used as examples that could be used to establish residence. The last part of the amendment deleted a small triple I, and that was basically a typo or something of that nature. It didn't belong there at all. So, members of the Senate, this basically would provide for non-tuition for a non-resident veteran to be charged resident fee rather than non-residents. The other thing I might mention, members of the body, see, I think I've got it over here somewhere, or I did. Is that, you know, it seems like, you know, these veterans are called to protect and defend our state and our country. And they're called to defend us from various types of danger. When our veterans face, military personnel face those dangers, those dangers don't inquire as to whether a person is a veteran or a non-veteran, or a resident or a non-resident. You know, so I think in terms of this bill treating our non-resident veterans the same way we treat our resident veterans in terms of tuition expense, you know, it's just the right way to go. So with that, I ask for your favorable consideration. If there's any questions, I'd answer them. Thank you.
Any questions on the amendment? We're still on the amendment. Further discussion on the amendment?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Von Flatiron's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment, Amendment number 1 to Senate File 61, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We are back on the bill. Question being called for on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Von Flatiron's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises, report that it do so with a favorable consideration of Senate File 61, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 61 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's it.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 38, do pass. Senate File 50, do pass. Senate File 44, do pass. Senate File 46, do pass. Senate File 60, do pass. And Senate File 61, do pass amended. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Senator Peterson. Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion has been adopted, and our motion has been carried, and the report has been adopted. Is that it? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership, which passed out of the Travel, Recreation, Wildlife Committee, has an appropriation, and I'd ask that you re-refer it to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 48, I think, is what you said?
Yes.
It will be re-referred to Committee Number 2. Standing Committee reports.
Mr. President.
Senator Schiffer.
It's been a while you're in the mood. Not a good move. Mr. President, in accordance with Senate Rule 4-7, I respectfully request that Senate File 72, Burglary, sponsored by Senator Case, be re-referred to Senate Committee 6, Cultural Lands and Historical Resources Committee.
Arts, parks, and fuzzy stuff.
Without objection, Senate File 72 will be re-referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife.
Good.
Okay. Standing Committee reports.
February the 11th, 2014, Mr. President, your Committee Number 7, Corporation, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 21, Insurance Own Risk Solvency Model Act, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you. I'm popular over here. People talking in both ears. Mr. President, I move that we stand adjourned until 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, February 12, 2014.
Pick any time.
No, we're going to come back at 10. Okay. I move that we stand adjourned until 10.
Announcements.
But I just want to see if anybody's listening.
Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land and Water Resources and Natural Resources, will meet in about 10 minutes and S-15 to take up Senate File 6, Groundwater Contested Cases, Senate File 7, Brucellosis Surveillance, Senate File 8, Agency Land Sale Acquisition and Exchange Authority.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the normal committee room. Senate File 51, Workers' Compensation Coverage. Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. We've been kicked out of our suite down here, and we've been moved upstairs. We're up in room S-13. Appropriations Committee did that to us, and we aren't very happy about it, but we're going to live with it. To hear Senate File 78, the Jason Flatt Act 2, Senate File 12, State Education Program, Senate File 13, Hathaway Scholarship Program Enrollment Expansion, Senate File 55, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Award Increase, and Senate File 79, Education Student Data Security 2.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet on Wednesday upon adjournment in S-14, right next door to the new Ed Committee Room, to consider Senate File 58, National Guard Service Governor's Authority, and Senate File 59, Specific Service Signage on Highways.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your Judiciary Committee Number 1 is going to meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. over in room S-1. We will take up Senate File 9, Probation and Parole Agent Arrest Authority, Senate File 10, Work Release Act Repeal. Senate File 29, Supervised Probation of Misdemeanants. Senate File 26, Endowment Challenge Program, State Funds Inviolate. And Senate File 27, Endowment Challenge Program Fees.
Any further announcements? Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I would just like to remind everyone of the Peace Awards that are tonight. This is the fifth annual. They're a wonderful event honoring some wonderful people, including our own Secretary of State, Max Maxfield, who's getting the Leadership and Policy Award. So it's out at Little America beginning at 5:30. I know I can make this announcement because the only appropriation this thing has is if you would like to participate in the silent auction or the live auction to benefit the Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. So hopefully we'll see you at Little America tonight.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion's carried. Senate will stand adjourned until 10 a.m. February 12th.